Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that in it we see Jesus and we are able to see who we are. And I pray that by your Spirit today we would come to know Christ in a more full way and we would come to see how precious he is. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's good to see you all today. We're nearly there. It's an exciting time, isn't it? It really is an exciting time. We are weeks, maybe days even away from starting our building project at St. John's. So it's very close. It's very close. I want to thank people who've been involved in it. Obviously, there's Nigel, the wardens, people who've been on steering groups, fundraising committees. I want to thank the conservation groups for all their work. I want to thank everyone who's prayed for the project. I want to thank everyone who has given towards the project. So thank you all. Thank you all. But what if I was to tell you that God isn't as concerned with the material building as he is with the spiritual building here at St. John's? You see, if you're a Christian here today, then you are part of God's building. You're part of a building that is growing and growing. You're part of a building that won't be finished until the end of time. You're part of a building that's more magnificent looking than the live buildings, and that is something special. It's a building where God is dwelling right now. It's a building that isn't fixed to one location. It's not fixed to one particular denomination or one particular worship style. This is God's building, which you and I are part of. You see, in today's passage, we see a blueprint for God's building, and it's all to do with Jim. So Jim is going to be our blueprint today. What I mean by that is we're going to be looking at Jesus, identity, and mission. Okay, so Jim is going to be our blueprint for how we're getting on at St. John's with seeing how we are as God's building. Now, this blueprint, it's timely for some reasons. Firstly, it's as we embark on this building project, we need to remember that the church is not just a room with buildings. Church is a group of people who represent God to the community around them. We need to know what this blueprint is about because we live at a time where we need to know who we are. Because knowing who we are is going to enable us to stand when we face opposition for being Christians. And this blueprint is important because we should never lose sight of the precious cornerstone that we are building on. So we're going to start with Jesus. He's always a good place to start. So we'll start. Now, Peter, in this passage that we've just... Oh, and by the way, just there's going to be some things on the screen. But also, if you've got a notice sheet today, there's a little thing for you. So if you are a person who makes notes or you want to just jog your memory, then there's a space in the notice sheet for you today. If you'd like that, because we're on the crest of innovation here at St. John's. If you haven't got a pen, then just cut your finger and write with your own blood. Okay, so we're going to think about Jesus. Peter says in this passage, he says that people see Jesus in two different ways. Sometimes people see Jesus as precious, and you get that word, it's said in verse 4 and verse 7. But also in verse 8, in another translation, in the ESV translation, it says that Jesus is the rock who is offensive. It doesn't say that in the NIV. So we're going to be thinking about, is Jesus precious or is Jesus offensive this morning? And nothing's really changed, has it? Because if we're being honest, that's how people see Jesus today. He can be either precious or he can be offensive. You see, we can have conversations with people about spiritual things. We can talk to people about God. But once we start talking to people about Jesus, things start to get a little bit tense. Now, don't get me wrong. People love things about Jesus. They love, you know, Jesus forgives and Jesus loves and Jesus serves and amen to all that. But once you start talking to people about Jesus being the only way to God, once you start talking to Jesus about Jesus, what Jesus said about judgment, once you start telling people that Jesus is a savior because we are all sinners, then people start to get a little offended by what we're saying. And because we are people who follow Jesus, people are going to be offended by us as well. It might be people will unfollow you on Twitter, defriend you on Facebook. People might stop sending you birthday cards, stop sending their kids over to play at your house. People might give you the cold shoulder at work. People might ignore you when you give your casual hello as you put the wheelie bins out. But we shouldn't be surprised by any of this. You see, being a Christian is not a popularity contest. Being a Christian is about being faithful to the one who is precious. Amen. Thank you, brother. If we're going to be a people who reflect God to the world, if we're going to be a people who stand up for Jesus in a country where Jesus is mocked, marginalized, and maligned, then we have to see this first blueprint, the first bit of the blueprint, as essential. We need to see that Jesus is precious. But how is Jesus precious? That's what we need to ask ourselves. If you look at verse 4, it tells us in verse 4, I'll read it to you if you haven't got it in front of you. It says, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. You see, if Jesus is going to be precious, then we're going to come to Jesus over and over again. That's what it means, as you come to him. It's not just coming to him once. It's coming to him time and time again. If we're going to think Jesus is precious, we need to remember that Jesus is the living stone. Jesus is the one who's risen from the dead. Jesus is the one who told death it had no power. I was trying to think what's an illustration that could help you with this. It's like me wrestling coal. Okay, coal might pin me down for 3 seconds, but I'm letting him, aren't I? Okay, there's going to be a time when I just push him off and he bangs his head on the ceiling because I threw him so high. That's what Jesus is doing with death. Okay, Jesus is saying to death, okay, death, you've got your 3 seconds now. Okay, you can have your fun. Come on, here we go. Yeah. And then boom, no longer. Okay, you're no longer going to hold me because death cannot hold me whatsoever. Jesus is the one who ascended into heaven. Jesus is the one who reigns from heaven. Jesus is eternal, never changing, mighty. Jesus is the living stone. You see, Jesus is also precious because Jesus was rejected by men. Jesus, the Son of God, was rejected by men. They thought Jesus was so offensive that they killed him. Jesus died as a rebel on the cross, when the truth is that Jesus died for rebels like me and like you. You see, when Jesus died as a criminal on that cross, the only crime was that he was an innocent man being killed. You see, Jesus Christ was rejected by men so that me and you can be welcomed by God. Jesus stood in our place. Jesus took our punishment. Therefore, Jesus is precious. Furthermore, Jesus is precious because Jesus was chosen by God. God the Father, before the foundation of the earth, he chose Jesus to go on a rescue mission to win you and I back. And finally, Jesus is precious because Jesus is precious to God. Now, this next bit I'm hoping is going to blow your minds. Because again, in another translation, in the ESV translation, the end of verse 6 and the start of verse 7 reads slightly differently. Let me read it to you. End of verse 6 reads, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe. Do you know what he's saying there? He's saying that if you're a Christian, you receive the same honor as Jesus Christ. That means that God loves you the same way as he loves his son. That means that God thinks you're as precious as his son. That means that God accepts you the same way he accepts his son. So this means it doesn't matter if your co-workers, your neighbors, your family members, your classmates think you're offensive and they want nothing to do with you. Because my friends, the God of the universe, he thinks that you and I are precious. The God of the universe welcomes you and I. The God of the universe loves you and I. That is great news. That's news to be encouraged by. So when we say the word precious, okay, is it Jesus who comes to mind? Or is it something else? Is Jesus precious to you? Now, as we think about this, as we think about this question, is Jesus precious to us? We're going to think about identity for a little while. That's the second one, I for identity. You see, our identity is crucial because our identity determines what we do. Who we are drives what we do. You see, for example, if my identity is so in being a father, then everything I do will be for my kids. I will work for my kids. I will spend all my time with my kids. I will spend all my money on my kids. I will think about my kids. I will obsess about their progress physically, spiritually, and academically. Your identity could be a successful businessman. So you're going to do things that ensure that you remain a successful businessman. Another way to think of your identity is to think about what you're building your life upon. For some, it could be you want to look a certain way. So you'll go to great lengths to keep that look, whether that be diet, surgery, the gym, new wardrobes, haircuts, etc. It could be that you're building your life on a reputation or a name that you have. And you want your name and reputation to have good standing in this community. So you'll do all you can to make sure that that continues. But Peter is telling the Christians here that he's writing to, he's saying, no, Jesus is your cornerstone. Jesus is who you're going to build your life on. Now, people will know, I know very little about DIY and building, but I did learn this in my research this week, that the cornerstone is crucial in a building. It's the first stone that is laid. If the cornerstone is off, then the whole building can collapse. But if your cornerstone is firm, if your cornerstone is true, then you can build well on it. My friends, if Jesus isn't precious to you, then he's not going to be your cornerstone. You're going to build your life on something else, and Jesus will be, as Pink Floyd sang, just another brick in the wall. You see, if you're building your life on anything other than Jesus, then you are setting yourself up for a massive fall. Because whatever you're building on, it cannot carry the weight of expectation you're putting on it. So again, if your life is all about your kids, please hear me say this because I'm guilty of this myself. Your kids cannot carry the expectation that you're putting on them because it's going to crush them. They cannot carry all your hopes and all your aspirations. They will let you down because you've got unrealistic expectations for them. If your life is all about being a successful business person, then you are on shaky ground because that can be taken away from you. As we know in this economic climate, if you're building your life on a relationship and it's not Jesus, then you're looking to that person to be your savior. And there's only one savior and his name's Jesus. You see, we've got to let Jesus be our cornerstone. So that means that we build our marriages on Jesus. That means we build our family on Jesus. We build our finances on Jesus. We build our leisure on Jesus. We build our health on Jesus. But who or what are we building our life upon? What if taken from you would feel as if your world had ended? What do you spend most of your time thinking about? What do you spend most of your money on? I mean, the answers to these questions could be indicators to what we're building our life on. Can I urge you to come to Jesus, the precious cornerstone? Repent, turn away from those weak, fragile cornerstones and start to build your life on Jesus Christ today. But that's not all we see in identity. Because Peter not only says who we should be building our life on, but he says who we are as Christians. In verse 5, we read this. Peter says that as Christians, we are living stones being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. Again, we are God's building. Each one of us is being grafted in to a spiritual temple being built by God. It's where God's Spirit dwells. If you think Jesus is precious, if your life is being built on Jesus, then you are part of God's building. And listen to this, wherever you go, God goes with you. So the question isn't, are we going to get people into church? The question is, are we as church going to get amongst the people? You see, where we go, God goes. Wherever we are, God is with us. And the implications for this are massive. Because we always have access to the Father through the Son. That's what it means to be a holy priesthood. We don't have to go through a religious person. Sorry, Nigel. But we can get to God through Jesus. Whatever the situation we find ourselves in, God is always with us. And not only that you think that would be enough. But we learn these wonderful truths about who we are. Peter says in verse 9, listen to this, as Christians, if you're a Christian here today, may your heart be filled with wonder. Because Peter says that we are a chosen people. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are a people belonging to God. This is our identity as Christians. Do you notice what he said there? He didn't say we are a person. We are people. We are plural, not singular. You always have someone, don't you, says this, you know, I love Jesus, but I can't stand the church. It's full of messed up hypocrites. Well, if that's you today, come and join us because you'll be very welcome. You'll fit right in. No, you see, this is how it goes. If we think Jesus is precious, then we're going to love the things that Jesus loves. And you know what Jesus loves? Jesus loves the church. If we think Jesus is precious, we're going to serve the things that Jesus serves, and Jesus serves the church. If we think Jesus is precious, we're going to lay down our life for the same thing that Jesus Christ laid his life down for, and that was the church. So my question is, do you love the church? Do you love the church? Do you love coming here, or do you just come and do you just disappear? Do you treat the church as a home or a hotel? Now, in a hotel, you check in with someone, you make small talk, you exchange pleasantries, but you don't really know anything about them. In a home, you listen, you engage, you help, you're with people. In a hotel, you do what you want, you've got no loyalty to the place. You can drop your litter, you don't have to give many people any consideration. You can come and go as you please. In a home, you invest in that place. You think about the needs of others. You make a commitment to those you share the home with to be there for them. They can trust in you and you can trust in them. Can I urge you to invest in St. John's as your home? These are your people. It's not only that, but because we are a building, because we are a people, we need each other. Have a little sly look at the people around you. You don't have to do it really obvious, just to, exchange the eyes. These are your people sat here today. These are people on the same team. These are people part of the same building. We need one another. We're to encourage and edify one another. We're to challenge, we're to comfort one another. Because we're all joined by the Holy Spirit. We are all leaning on the same cornerstone, that precious stone, that living stone. Jesus Christ. And because God gives us this identity through Jesus, we are free to live for Jesus. We don't have to worry anymore about whether we're doing enough to be part of God's people, because we've just learned today we are part of God's people. And in verse 10, we have this wonderful, wonderful sentence. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Now, I'm sure you all saw that picture on the front of the papers this week of the Chinese baby in the pipe. That was a horrific image, wasn't it? It really was a horrific image. The baby that was rescued from the pipe. Now, that baby obviously knew it was in trouble because it was crying, it was distressed. But that baby didn't know the extent of the trouble it was in. You see, we were once like that Chinese baby in the sense that we were once helpless. We were once unaware of the deep trouble we were in, but God rescued us. You see, God loved us when we were unlovely. God saved us when we didn't want saving. God gave us mercy when we deserved his wrath. And he didn't do this because you and I are more able or more switched on than anyone else. He didn't do this because you and I are more special than anyone else. God did this because he chose to love you and show his mercy to you. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you'd not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You see, once we realize what God has done for us, once we realize who we are now ready to participate in God's mission. Okay, so we're on the M for mission, the last bit, although it's 50 minutes long. I'm joking. 45. Okay, I hope so far some deep anchors have been hitting your heart this morning. I hope so far you've seen that Jesus is precious. I hope you've been encouraged and blown away by your identity as God's people. You see, we need to be constantly reminded of who Jesus is and who we are. Because as I said at the beginning, this country is becoming increasingly difficult to live in as a Christian. I don't know if you saw the news this week, but we saw the 3 failed cases at the European Court of Human Rights. The most famous one was Lillian Ladelli, who was claiming religious discrimination after being forced out of her Islington Council job over her conscientious objection to same-sex civil partnerships. She lost that case 5-2. This is what a spokesman from the Christian Institute said. He said, the government has been saying people who have Christian beliefs about marriage will be protected by human rights. But today's decision shows that that is a hollow promise. There's a great pressure for us to deny Jesus in the world we live. There's a real pressure of losing jobs, friendships, and status. And there's a real pressure to keep Jesus in the private realm. However, note what Peter says at the end of verse 10. Peter says, if you think Jesus is precious, if you are building your life on Jesus as the cornerstone, we are to declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And that word praise, it means more than just being thankful for the blessings of God. It means we are to adore God for who he is and what he's done. He has called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. And when someone does something wonderful for you, you want to tell the whole world around, you want to tell the whole world about it. And there's nothing more wonderful than being taken from darkness and being put into light. There's nothing more wonderful than being spiritually dead to being spiritually alive. There's nothing more wonderful than once being blind, now being able to see. But have we lost that wonder? Is our salvation old news? Remember who Jesus is. Remember who you are in your identity. And let your heart be filled with wonder so your mouth can declare God's praises. Now also with our mission, sometimes when we face opposition in this world, a fear may be to retreat from the world. Let's just stick in our holy huddles, in our comfortable Christian cuddles. I haven't got any more, that was just 2. But look what Peter says. Peter says in verse 12, he says, we are to live such good lives among the pagans. We are to be amongst people. We are to hang out with people. We are to take God to people. We are to declare Jesus to people who don't know about Jesus. And again, not because we have to do it, but because we can do it, because we are God's people. However, there must be a word of caution, and we are not to revel in the action of the world. Verse 11 tells us that we are to remember we are aliens and strangers in this world, and we are to abstain from sinful desires. We are to remember that our master is Jesus, that our home is heaven, that we are in the world, but we are not of the world. Now that might mean that if you have a problem with drink, then it's probably not best to go to the pub. If you've got a problem with gossiping, then ask a Christian friend to come along the next time the girls go out so she can hold you accountable. So the great fear I have for my life and the great fear I have for us at St. John's here is that people look at us and people see absolutely no difference in us. There's nothing different in the things that we say. There's nothing different in the things that we do, in the things that we watch, in the things that we listen to. You see, God's people will be different because God's drumbeat is different to the world around us. The question is, whose beat are we marching to? And you may say, Chris, okay, this is all well and good, but what's the outcome of all this? If Jesus is precious, if our identity is built on Christ, if we are on mission, how are people going to react to us? Well, we see that in verse 12. Let me read verse 12 to you. Live such good lives among the pagans that they, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Can you see that two things are going to happen when you live as God's people? People will reject you. People will accuse you of things. So get used to it now. Secondly, people will receive you. Some people will see the things you do and they will glorify God because of those things. We had a marvelous example of this last week. It was in the news. I don't know if you read it. The English Defence League went to a mosque in Hull to protest, only to be greeted with tea and biscuits. Councillor Neil Barnes summed up the event well. He said, I don't think I'll ever forget the day that the York Mosque tackled anger and hatred with peace and warmth. I won't forget the sight of a Muslim offering a protester tea and biscuits with absolute sincerity. That took a tremendous amount of courage and a tremendous amount of love. And our Muslim friends should be praised for this action. And there's much we can learn from this, especially if you come into contact with anyone from the conservation group. But for Christians, there's something a lot deeper going on when we face opposition. You see, when we come to the precious living stone who is Jesus, we see a man who was hung on the cross for his enemies. We see a man who served those who opposed him. When we look at Jesus, we see the precious Son of God became ugly, so that the ugly sons of men like me and you may become precious as the Son of God. Now you see, when these truths sink deep into your heart, you will step out into this world without fear of those who oppose you. You will step out into this world with confidence that whatever the world throws at you, you remember that God thinks you're precious. That God loves you, that God accepts you, all because of his Son. And we can step out into this world ready for the hard times because our lives are built on the cornerstone that will not crumble. You see, our identity is God's building. So let us live together on mission in Knutsford and beyond. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this passage of Scripture. Help Jesus to become more precious to us now than he was before. Help our identity be built on Christ, and help us to live on mission as your people. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.